Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. This is our 230 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. How's the weather there?
Oh, it's terrific. Summertime, in shorts, finally. I mean, and when you live in Maui, you don't spend a portion of the year where you really can't sit outside. Not comfortable, but now it's really nice and comfortable, and doors are usually open, but right now I have it closed in case we get a boat or something go by.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Yeah. There's space weather, you know.
Space weather. Space weather?
Yeah, space weather. And when you look at space weather, there are cosmic energies that flow, not only from our sun, which is strong, but there are other cosmic energies that come from outer areas that are impinging upon our solar system right now and causing a weather change. Also, some interesting things have come about, and I was just having a short discussion with Sharon a while ago. And they were just kind of commenting on some things that were leading in a track that I never thought I'd worry about, but they just kept on speaking about it. Would you like to hear about it?
Yes, I'd like to hear about it.
Well, it's interesting in the fact that we are here on Earth, right?
Right.
We have our own domain. We have essentially our own, you might say, time, linear time. And time within space is different. And we know that by our physics, right? We sent up atomic clocks and all that stuff, measure velocity and stuff. They come back and measure. And then they look at it and says, the things are measuring different times. They were just flying around in an airplane, and then much more. Time, I guess it was called time dilation, but the celestials, teachers, were essentially not calling it time dilation. It's almost like time has domains in which we have different areas in which time is held in our linear I interface with it, and then we live our lives during this. But in other, when we take in, let's say we're taken to other places, we participate in this other time frame, you might say, time domain or time section. I forgot what word they were using to try to help explain to my mind what this is all about. But it really comes down that there are different time interfaces that a person or life can interface. And then there is universe time. And we have something, called Greenwich Mean Time, sometimes called Universal Time. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the coordinated Universal Time. But it's really not universal time, because when it comes right down to what time is in terms of our cosmic or our celestial friends, they don't look at it that way. Time in one part or one, even out in New Jerusalem, is different from time as what we have here on Earth. And in respect to that, they have to use other means of looking at, time and seasons and place, and one of the things that do coordinate are the grand celestial alignments. whether they be for long periods of time or for more short and precise periods of time. And I was looking at and wondering about, do they time travel? And it said, essentially, if we look at it from a perspective of linear time against transverse time, there are doing a form of time travel because they must coordinate, interface back into their time and time frame or time, and the reverse also. So moving between domains can cause this change as far as time. But all of it can be coordinated, what they call Havona time or universe time, which is coordinated through the master chronodex, the master timekeepers, which have a lot to do with how everything is coordinated in terms of the universe, its expansion, its force, and its material. So then there is others which are not time dependent, as well as not also being not gravity dependent. So a whole different aspect of this feature is part of the interesting interface that goes on between ourself and our celestial neighboring friends who do visit and learn, being many of them not creatures of our time frame, you might say, or our time, linear time track. And when they do interface, they have to make some adjustments according to that. And they're pretty good at it. So if you're wondering about space travel, it has a lot to do with time travel.
Well, Einstein, didn't he say when you start speeding up near the speed of light that time just starts or begins just to slow down more and more, and it almost seems to stop when you get to the speed of light?
Well, that's Einstein's concept of relativity or progression. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at time moving along a linear line, just like a line, you're walking along a line, and then you have somebody who doesn't care about you walking along that line and actually makes transversals between your line and their line and back and forth. This becomes something that is somewhat out of phase with your linear time, and also in their transverse between the two, it also becomes out of phase with their line. But they use this as comfortably as we would use perhaps our car, or, you know, if they're in transport, very much like, yeah, jumping onto a subway or, you know, local train or high-speed train, doesn't matter, airplane. So transport is comfortable for them, but it also includes this time dilation, or it's, they kept saying don't use time dilation because time expansion or contraction, but it's more transversals. Yeah. So
Well, since you're talking about time, how about going back in time? What does Shaharon have to say about going back in time?
Time has force, energy. This is an interesting part of time, because there are larger impulses that move through time. In other words, time changing. You know, the concept of going back in time and changing some event, and then you go over there and you kill your father and your mother and then you never be born again, But that's not necessarily true because there's force in time. And that projects reality forward, always forward. And if you break through that time force, you essentially create a new reality domain. Now, that is part of our participation in universe development, is that when we are traced into this time domain, we are traced into it as living vessels of a specially designed implant. It's, you might say, a technology that was created for not being able, not having to worry about multiple yourselves. You know, there's this concept where you have this, what would they call them? There's a funny word for it. But anyway, sort of a shadow of yourself. And in reality, there is only one real personality, which is your soul implant, your soul development. In other words, you yourself, the idea of being in multiple places at the same time is possible because the soul is not time dependent and neither gravity responsive. It is part of the characteristic of what we are being developed for. So this is a kind of esoteric reality that they were pointing me into and trying to say, live your life fully as you can and in your line of development. And don't worry about this time travel because going back into the past and all of that and seeing history has its way of being fundamental force of, you know, being pushing forward into time. And it's part of an expansionary thing. But if you want to reverse time, there is a way. And essentially, if you were to try to reverse time and go back in time, the forward traversal would not necessarily change the domain, yourself, your personality. And that is the primary point of who we are and why we are unique above the animals, you know, just, you know, living creatures running around trying to make sense of, you know, fulfilling their base drives and needs. We have this higher need of finding greater truth. But in that, we get to participate in our own development, but also in the structure of the universe through this development of this personality, through soul development, which has a lot to do with, you know, the father fragment, you might say, the fractal, divinity fractal. So that's the idea of perhaps not, it's not that big of a deal to go back in time. Because when it really comes down to it, what is the big deal? The big deal is you, yourself, who you are, but not in the terms of aggrandizing yourself, making yourself a big deal, but in what, fulfilling what purpose we were essentially created for, if that's the word. That's why we have guardians of destiny, and the Shaharuns are guardians of destiny, of high destiny. So this is one of the interesting factors about looking into others who are functioning in this destiny attainment and are curious of our development and are, of course, learning. Because their point of view has different images as what we would characterize as normal, they're ordinary. Their points of view, you know, some of these other ones would be like, curious, you know, as we are curiosity sometimes, so.
So you said the soul is not dependent on time?
Essentially, when the soul is constructed with that destiny in sight, in other words, it has its alignment toward higher destiny, it already does, but it won't get lost. It essentially is locked on with other higher destiny guardians who help guide the individual soul toward attaining higher destiny, higher realm of development. In other words, our realm of development starts off as a mortal being that develops, you know, through, if you study human development, you go through certain phases of development that are common in terms of how humans develop. And from childhood, you know, from being born, even in prenatal kind of concept, it's pretty much predictable. And also, in terms of the real eternal destiny point, this is the part that is confused and can become a point of devolvement, you know, like you devolve rather than evolve. You digress rather than progress. And that is because of how we align toward time. The physical body will die. But the time progress, the time development progress will, if aligned properly and the soul developed properly, will be immune to time's decay. You essentially be a universe time traveler, which is becoming almost, you might say, immune to time's linear force. That's part of the concept of eternal life. Eternal life is not just a continuum of linear time, but a expansion traversing linear time. It can go sideways in terms of displacement of timelines, time. You know, the concept that people feel is very real when they say, well, isn't time moving faster or isn't time moving slower? Even though our watches, which measure time mechanically or electronically or atomically, are perceiving it precisely, but yet our lives get keyed upon a different time frame. This is much like what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, very similar in a sense, because it is impressed upon our life development of how fast or slow time progresses. Yet our time mechanism, one of the interesting things that Sheldon was mentioning to me was how we have a physical body that has a physical clock inside of it, which has fairly precise time. We think of our time clocks, our body time clocks, as being somewhat not so accurate, you know, within plus or minus an hour or two. But he mentioned to me that it's much more precise than that, and it can actually come within minutes of perceiving your own time position. So I've noticed that in terms of certain cycles that I keep getting involved with, and they come within minutes, awake sleep cycles, and I keep thinking, how could this be so precise? But then this is part of our own natural biologic clock, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then this perception is of time speeding up and time slowing down. That is part of our soul development clock, which has kind of an independence of linear time. So that is a real perception. It is a real perception of development, soul development, and time in terms of this higher level of time or participating in eternal time. That's, you know, a little curiosity in our development, so don't ignore it.
Yeah, well, we've all felt our physical body clock. You know, how I want to get up at 6:30, and for some reason you wake up at 6:30.
Yeah, precisely.
Which surprises me many times. Oh, I'll get up. I'll just don't have to set the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll set it anyway, and I'll just get up at the same time. It is surprising how we do have a built-in clock.
Mm-hmm.
Or
I guess one of the things he was kind of pointing out was that in a sense we have a higher kind of a clock, life clock.
Life clock.
Yeah, that kind of tells you how fast your life is going, how slow your life is going. That's sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But around here when we change our clocks, I know Maui doesn't, or Hawaii doesn't change your clocks, but I hear people say, oh, I'm having a hard time getting adjusted to the new time. What, 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
But they do.
Yes. You mean that they like Benjamin Franklin invention?
Yeah, when they change when they change their clock for some reason.
Yeah.
They should just make the school start an hour earlier or later, or adjust businesses if they want to, but people don't like the time change. It's still the same amount of sunlight, no matter what time the clock says. You're still always going to get the same amount of sunlight. Like in the summertime, we have a lot more sunlight. And winter, we have much less. But no matter where you are, when winter takes place, it's less sunlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that too. Shorter days and stuff.
Mm-hmm. A little shorter.
Yeah, but one of the things is that in the latitudes that we're at, yeah, we do have that famous saying where you don't really have a twilight. The sun just sort of drops into the ocean quickly because of the latitude. I remember going up to Alaska and like, when is the sun going to set? It's 10 o'clock right now and the sun's still up. I mean, it's bright. You can walk around and see. That was fun to experience that. You know, but the same people invited me up there to Alaska. We're here, you know, because that's why they invited me back to Alaska. Their comment was, oh, the sun goes down fast over here.
Yeah, it does.
It was just sunny. The sun goes down.
I was just going to say, yeah, in Hawaii, the sun must drop really fast.
Yeah, and I believe one of the concepts behind it that the Shoruns are trying to project is that try to imagine these time lines or time as just that participation in that. So they have that different zone or different kind concepts of time's progression. And yet they master time in a way that allows them to move their technology forward and use the traversals in time. Yeah.
They mastered time? Could you...
Yeah, they kind of mastered time, the elements of time, in to the point where they can actually use its force energy, time force energy, if you want to call it force energy, that that is part of their motive force, you might say, their engine. So they don't necessarily use just force energy, the time force energy to work with. And that's all part of the higher realms of a higher civilization.
Time, force, energy.
If you were, yeah, time, you could say time cannot be a force. Time cannot be an energy. Is time a particle? Well, all of those questions are semi true in terms of the answer to them as being yes, yes, and yes.
Well, what is it? Describe time, force, energy. What do they mean by that?
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, I kind of was like stumbling with and kept coming forward with expansion and contraction, so ideas of, you know, when you look at this idea of the black hole, which is like this tremendous gravitational force.
Right.
What the black hole is a reversal in time flow also. So, and it results in compression or reduction in, you know, the opposite of expansion, compression. So you will perceive a lot of it as high gravity force, but it is time reversal also. So this is also energetic, but some of our math is pointing toward that right now, and I'm just trying to figure out, is this something that we can really count on, understanding this? And when we come to grips with a lot of these concepts and prove them out, we will begin to actually come into a point of becoming much like other celestials in terms of our development, our technology and our understanding of time and development, and realize the shortcomings of being a purely linear time dependent slave. Yeah. This is some of the warnings that had to do with the sequestering of individuals who were celestial, moving into our domain, planet Earth, and being locked in to the fabric in which it is. And because of that, eventually having to deal with the eventual end result of time's penalty, which is, you might say, death. Because the life mechanism that makes life function along a linear path is, for us, biologic. And because of that, it has its limits. And those who became participants of our reality frame actually had to use very similar vehicles. Not to say that they cannot use other, if you want to say, bodies to, you know, interface with our world, our planet. But in order to fully bring forth with what the mechanism of our planet was going to be used for, the ultimate catapulting of base material, particle reality, base, that level of reality, into the higher realms of true destiny, high destiny, would require kind of a individual with guided destiny, you know, to attain that. And that's all part of our progress. And anyway, that's one of the fundamental failings of becoming a partner with a material being. Because another material being, having perhaps a different development on a different, let's say, planet, or different order of, and having that different planet would have also a different interface to time. As a result, they could either become very long-lived or short-lived, where normally they would live a very, 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 very long time. But if they came from a certain type of time domain, they might, in this, we're participating in our world, live for measurable amount of time. Meaning they don't live forever.
Mm-hmm. And that's time penalty.
Time penalty, yeah, because the movement. And this is sort of hard to understand for me, you know, kind of like, give me another parallel, you know. And that's what I'm trying to repeat, all the different parallels that were drawing for me.
Right.
Yeah. And this is just as coming out of some idea of why these celestials don't just come down and say hello. You know.
What do you mean? You mean, are you referring to the reason is because of time?
Some of it, yeah.
Some of it?
Some of it, yeah. Want to spend more time with us. This is what I was coming to. I had a question about why, since 2012, you know, essentially the end of 2012, December or whatever time point is it, I seem to be going into a different timeline in myself. Some things have been changed, and some of it is like I feel like I'm getting younger and healthier. And it's not because I changed my life, it's my life started to change in reverse. What's dragging me down seems to be building me up now. You know, that time fabric was sort of changed, and I was wondering about it, and it explained to me that there is a grand alignment of time synchronization that is also happening right now. This grand alignment of time synchronization is part of our fuller awakening to the higher realm of reality that we are to, the term, evolve into, grow into, is happening right now. And if we can participate in it in a way that we don't kick against it or fight against it, we will gain the advantages of moving in this timeline, this higher timeline. And there is also dangers that can happen with being too closely aligned with the former timeline. And this is part of the answer which I was trying to get from why did in this solar burst happen that my friend died on that day, a big X flare, and yeah. Then and there was also a whole bunch of ambulances, sirens I could hear all over, you know, and we're a small community and you don't hear them all that often and just going blaring off one after another. It seemed like this biblical warning about which basically came from Jesus Christ. He said had to do with in these days, because they're talking about, you know, there'll be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, signs in heaven, all kinds of celestial signs and alignments. And one of them was men's hearts failing them because of the things that are coming upon the earth. And what is coming upon the earth are these changes in rhythm and in normal. You know, when I navigate, you know, I like to on the ocean, you know, you can feel the changes. And this is how the old navigators that piloted and navigated the Pacific with their twin-hulled sailing ships, Hawaiian people, the various Polynesians that propagated from way down at Indonesia and all the way across through the whole Pacific. They were able to detect the various subtle changes in wind, sea, current, wave actions, as well as star alignments. And when they couldn't see the stars, they still were able to navigate without compass. Now, this is some of the things that I've been noticing is without compass, you might say, I am able to feel that there is a change in the time fabric of space-time that we are in right now, and there is a movement toward a higher plane and realm, but there are dangers in terms of how we intercept it. And if we can intercept it in a way that is not going to disturb ourselves physically, we can intercept it in a way that keeps us on track. We will be actually prepared for a higher realm and interface. This is another point that they were making in terms of what is happening right now. And what is happening right now is this change that is happening in ourselves. The human race is changing, and it is possibly for many changing for the better if they are, you might say, guided by the guardians, you might say, the guardians of destiny, and these who would want that guidance are having an advantage, and those that are rejecting it will lose that advantage and sometimes will stray into dangerous waters, you might say. And without knowing it, too, yeah.
Could you explain a little bit more about the human race changing? What do you mean, human race changing?
The human race has been functioning in its time capsule, you might say, this time domain on planet Earth, whirling about our planet. And in terms of the grand celestial alignments that are causing us to move into, you might, people call it higher vibratory rate or something like that, but I call it more sympathetic and more, sympathetic rate with the universe time frame. It's going to cause, because of that, a grand receptivity to the human race to gain even more enlightenment, spiritual knowledge through that attunement, that gaining. Some people could call it spiritual, but it has a lot to do with our shifting of our mechanism, you might say, our body mechanisms right now that are happening. And I notice it. It's real. It really happens. Yeah. So I can't explain everything, because if it were, we could duplicate it. But I can say that it is something that I am experiencing, and that is not bad. It's a good thing, but it has its challenges, and the entire planet will be challenged because of it. And some of the challenges is how it can look or feel to people, and it can become deadly, you might say. Or the opposite, exact opposite, which is, it's sort of like it reminded me that if I stepped into the regeneration chamber or the resurrection chamber, and I went through the process, I was told by the operator, you know, because it was very simply put to me, it says, if you go in there and you go into that chamber, then when you come out, you live forever. But the penalty of that was my body would die. Because in discussion between my graduate guide and the operator of the chamber was this, doesn't he, and he was talking about me, he went over, my graduate guide didn't know this part. He went over and said, visitor, you know, wants to go in the chamber, because I told him, you know, what it does. And then I'm listening to them, and he says, doesn't he need his body? Mm-hmm. And at that point, the conversation between the two stopped, and they looked at me and it says, don't you need your body? I says, what do you mean? And he says, well, if you go into this chamber, your body will die. But I thought you meant live forever. And he says, yeah, but it's not in the way that you think. In other words, they're verifying, first of all.
It's not in the way you think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has a lot to do with being readied. And this is about to happen. Mm. You know, but it will take place in, you know, various forms. Because there is something that has been worked on for a long time, you know, so even now more than ever. And essentially it has a lot to do with what our planet may be impinging upon, which may become one in which requires a rescue mission. Mm-hmm. But in this rescue mission, physical bodies need to be translated. And along that line of translation, they can not necessarily have successful translations. There can be some ones that don't make it. And as a result, they're not embodied. They're without body. Don't you need your body to finish your life experience, to live out this task that you have on planet Earth, Grancha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, you mean I wouldn't, he says, you would, in a sense, I would be able to participate, you know, but not in the way that, very much, you might say, as a, like an alien, I would have been, not fully functioning as a developing soul here on planet. But so I lose that advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but anyway, that's just a little bit of that hint back on what is happening. There's more things going on that I don't know. Reveal only so much, and I think they don't even know everything that they're revealing, every little detail.
Yeah, and sometimes they use words that we just understand, but we don't understand the way they use them. You just said physical bodies need to be translated.
Mm-hmm.
You mean changed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With a chamber, you mean?
The chamber duplicates a type of emission, or if you could call it a radiation. Because my immediate impression was, oh, you've got tanning booths here. That was what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they look like you go inside and, you know, you don't have enough sun, so you go get, you know, this is some of the things that I got aware of. Through you know being experienced with some of these guys in the health realm way back as a in middle school when I was working with a Mr. Universe, 3-4 time Mr. Universe, Olympic bodybuilding champion, weightlifting champion also, and he explained to me that there are other areas that don't have enough sun and people go into these tanning booths, but also to get the vitamin D and stuff. But anyway, he explained that to me. So that's why I looked at him and said, you got tanning booths here, you know, because they had this idea of, they looked like they were also, shining light. So, and I was explained, no, you go into there and you live forever. Oh, I wouldn't mind going in there and live forever, you know. But my idea was, in this physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would change our, I don't know if it, you might call it, our particle structure, our base particle structure. But by adding a higher elemental stuff, something to it. I don't know. Hmm. Yeah. Not necessarily becoming heavier, but actually becoming lighter.
What, physically lighter?
Yeah, physically. But having heavier powers, you know, because more associated with, it's this morancho development that we can inherit a morancho form, but it's also a point in which the direct translation from organic carbon-based biologic machine can be translated through that chamber into another base form, which the Rancho book calls Morancho. Yeah. Which is the same aspect in which Jesus Christ, on his own merit, without technology, resurrected. And his physical body was held up, stood up, yeah, and his drape, you know, that Shroud of Turin, was draped, was held up over him, and his physical body was flashed away, in a flash, was decomposed, destructured, which resulted in the Shroud's image. That's why the Shroud's image looks like, how could this be? Because the blood stains on it don't quite match the photograph, because he was held up in a vertical form. The Shroud was draping forward and back, and his body was evaporated, vaporized. Actually, it was, you know, just taken, just completely decomposed, deconstructed in a flash. And his Maranja form was such that he looked similar, but not the same. But was able to interface with the human being. So this is the same thing that the chamber does, but that makes an individual not fully a human being anymore. Becomes one level higher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
But without the human body anymore.
Yeah, but the human body is almost like a blueprint for the next. But more importantly, what is developed along the lines of the soul is much more important. Because even if the soul is transported, no longer not implanted into another body, it still can be implanted into another body later on. Hmm. Yeah, so that's all part of the technology that is of life's purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the biggest revelation on it, biggest enlightenment that I could ever say about going to the New Jerusalem and finding out the purpose of life, human life, and all life. And to intercept it and to place a variant path, which we can right now participate in this variant path that does not lead to this high, higher realm. It does not lead to an ascended realm, but it leads back in a circle. It is, you know, not the purpose.
It leads back, and you mean back to where you came from?
And back to nothing, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sort of like the black hole concept, which things reverse and get essentially recycled as, you know. Does the universe have garbage? Celestial garbage that gets recycled? Yes, it does. And in it's got some very powerful characteristics about it. You know, galaxies that can collide, stars collide, things move in ways in which get swallowed up through these cosmic entanglements. Yeah. But all in all, when it comes right down to this universe, was to get this extremely, extremely valuable resource, which is the human soul, and that to be developed further, becoming, you might say, the children of God. That's why we were given that little concept, the children of God, your progress to higher realms, progress to pure land, progress beyond, you know, developing character, So it's all of this is all part of the purpose. But in an interesting sense was how the time in all aspects of the universe are not the same.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? All times of all are not the same? What?
In all aspects and zones within the universe are not the same. Different aspects, different progress. Even in our own life, as I get review about that again, is that we say that time goes faster and time goes slower in terms of our living our lives. Mm-hmm. But yet our lives' biologic clocks can be extremely accurate. Yet when we look upon real time and life development time, time progress in our soul development, that can be something that is not linked together directly with our own chronologic time. Yet, the direct chronologic time helps, the universe chronologic time helps order the universe into its very structure that we have so that we can participate in non-time responsive development, which is our soul development, which is not gravity responsive, neither time responsive, but has in time, as creatures of time, we have the capacity to develop that soul, which is just living life. And that don't there's something in Zen Buddhism said, and the concept is you live in, you do it in the now. In other words, there is other concepts in which became highly meditative, and you sort of delinked yourselves from the reality of the world, and did not participate in the development of character because spent time trying to esoterically align oneself to a higher plane, which will automatically inherit. It's much more important to be aware of that and to participate in the now in terms of understanding that we are all along being developed. And then, of course, making along the way those adjustments to our life and life choices that will allow for an individual guardian of our own personal destiny to partner with us along with our divinity fragment. And that is the thought adjuster, the divine fractal, that helps build the real divine nature and therefore develop the child of God in us to a more mature being and stature as becoming a true son of God, daughter of God, child of God.
Well, that does sound like a grand scheme of things, or the grand alignment, mm-hmm. as they called it. Well, that's so the Celestials have been communicating with you, Shaharon, about time recently?
Yeah, they just kind of like converse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you have a seraphic guide, angel of destiny, you can have a participative guide, which you've got to learn to become receptive. And one of the ways to become unreceptive is not to believe that that is possible. You know, because if you don't believe it, you won't receive it. As you begin to believe it and then prove it out in your own personal life, then you begin to realize, oh, they really are speaking to me. They really are. Or, you know, you might have one guide, or you might have, might share a guide with a group of other people, you know, and that guide will help you gain more and more knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, and this all has to do with the same simplicity of the psychic circles, the development of what our life purpose should be. So attain them all. Don't think that you got to, you know, and even if you only attain a few, not all seven, you know, you're not considered a flunky. But one an important thing is that if you have the will to say you want to, and you make the choice to attain all, and come to a point where you are nearly, and it really amounts to a real love affair with the divine. And that ends up with becoming a true divine son, capable of traversing the universe of space-time and being not dependent upon it, you know, being stuck in it in terms of linear time.
Yeah, well, we've spent most of our lives just dealing with linear time.
Yeah, and we just look at it as, and if we spend that part of our lives, almost all of it, then we just, how much of the real purpose of our life is lacking? Mm-hmm. You know, it's shortchanged. We're not giving that little bit of space. That's why there has to be some space that we set about to say, and that these guides who place within the structures of various religions are many times the very same shaharuns that are guiding the destiny of the human race along, you know, progressing along. So that's why I was amazed when I saw, wow, there are these guys etched into the very structure of some of the most ancient religions of the world. And yet they are saying, and that's what, you know, and my interface with the Sharuns was that they had a sore spot, because we keep, you know, sometimes we just plain fail. And, you know, it takes perhaps a newer enlightened one, because always, you know, the Buddha became too enlightened, he became non-human, you know, and that's, you know, not the way it's supposed to be, you know. And even Christ, Jesus Christ himself, his entire purpose was to become human, and as human, but then they raised them up too high and it made them unattainable, made things, yet he can say, the things I do, you do also, and greater. So all of this was open to us, but sometimes because of the frailties, and sometimes if you raise up, you know, these people up high, then you think that, well, then I don't have to attain it, you know. I used to see some poor excuses for living in some Christian slogans, which is not perfect, just forgiven. You know, I go, what? Not perfect? You mean, I don't think so. Once forgiven, becoming perfect, having be forgiven and accepting such a forgiveness. Therefore, turning and away from your own pathway to be participate in your own personal development or divinity attainment is a much better pathway than, you know, your own. And that is, you know, something that you treasure, you know. Mm. Yeah, so let your treasures be in heaven. You know, sometimes you think we got to play our treasure. What a treasure represents is something that make your life easier here on earth, right?
Right.
You know, I got a treasure. Okay, what's your treasure? Okay, whatever it is. You know, I own an apartment building and I collect all this rent or something. Well, when it let your treasure be in heaven, that means if you have a divine ascension goal, you are want to attain this divinity attainment as your entire purpose in life. And along with that, you take care of your physical life. But understanding your true destiny is very high. Then you will begin to place the appropriate associations in the realm which are not associated in this time link or time, linear time frame, but in a higher destiny time frame as you associate with higher guardians. But first you must make that choice. So it starts with a choice, and that choice is to live a life of fulfilling higher destiny and associating directly with the Christ that came into the world to just say, this is your purpose. This is what was hidden from you. This is what's stolen from you. Now, go back and live it with in partnership with him, if you could call it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that partnership results in it's not wrong in terms of other religious alignments, but many of these, if you look into, let's say, the Christian church, which associates itself directly with Jesus Christ, there are lots and lots and lots of disagreements causing a different concept. So that's why there's so many different factions, I would call, people would give factions a different name called denominations, but really it really amounts to factions. But those who are truth seekers can traverse any one, because the truth that comes out of there will be aligned or associated with the divinity fractal within you, and gives you a resounding attuned point. So if you hear something like that, you go, whoa, yeah. Or just people who are aligned well with their divinity fractal, you find them as being people of a kindred spirit, because it's the same. Yeah. But if they're a little bit off alignment, a little bit stuck in the temporal, then that's the majority of where we live. It's the temporal, but yet we've got to make that adjustment from the temporal to the eternal, and that is a important adjustment, because you don't take temporary thinking, mortal thinking along the way, because that's where the pollution of mortal thinking embedded itself into many religions of the world, and some of them became extremely radical and very, very, very weak in their association with divinity.
Mm. Wow. Well, let's continue next week.
Okay.
All right, Michael. Aloha.
Aloha.